1. And 1 Peter chapter 2. Let's stand together for prayer. Our Father in heaven, we are gathered before you in your presence today, conscious of your goodness and kindness and mercies. We've been made to be painfully aware of our sin and sinfulness. We're reminded of our weaknesses and our infirmities. We're just as dust, just as debris blown around by the wind, as a waft of smoke that disappears and is no more. We have this brief time of existence under the sun, which you've made to live on this earth, having no idea of the meaning of it all, but knowing we've been given a brief respite, an opportunity to know our Creator and our God, and in Him find life. And life abundantly. We pray that you'd speak to us and commune with us today. Make us to know from whence we came, who brought us. Make us to know your word and your truth. Help us to face reality. Help us to forsake our sins, to look to you. Meet our needs today, oh God, that we be made like you. Our Creator, we may be called the children of our Father, which is in heaven. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. A couple of emphases in the Bible teaching hour this morning coincide with the message this morning. One is a fellow doing some digging. And the other is we exhorted to do some looking. And there the similarities cease. For the digging is the responsibility of a man. He did the digging. But what we're going to consider today is that we are the digged. We was dug. And whereas the looking was to look at the structure, the house it's building, we're invited to look at the hole where the foundation came from. We find that in Isaiah chapter 51 and verse 1. The first verse of Isaiah 51, "Hearken unto me, ye that follow after righteousness, ye that seek the Lord. Look unto the rock from which you're hewn, and to the hole of the pit whence ye are digged." From 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21, to get the context of the verse from which our text comes, "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow in his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again; when he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were as sheep going astray, but now are returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls." The part of the verse that we want to consider this morning is the first statement, you were as sheep going astray. What you were. And in that respect, the passage in Isaiah comes to focus, where we are exhorted to look at what we were. In fact, he says, look to the pit. Look to the hole. Now, as a popular exhortation, when folks are in a depressed or discouraged circumstance, look up. And there's times when we need to look up. There's times when we need to look down, too. We're exhorted to look, to take a look at the hole of the pit. And that's the topic for the message this morning, the hole of the pit. Because that's where you come from. You not only come out of the pit, but you come out of a hole in the pit. Sometimes we get flying high. And we get to thinking we just naturally high flyers. The reason we flying high, we sky people. We high folks. We highfalutin. We just naturally nice folks. We good people. We Christians. We good Christians. That's what we are. Naturally showing up. That's the kind of people we are. And we get to thinking, you know, we always been that way. And I know some folks who think they've always been that way. And we get to thinking that we are the cause of ourselves being high flyers and nice and good people. We just naturally that because we are. And because we are, we improved ourselves. And if ever folks was as, everybody else was as good as we are, they'd improve themselves to where they'd be like us. And it's in this light that the Lord invites us to look at the hole of the pit from whence we came. I met this just occurred to me, and this is not what occasioned this message. What occasioned this message, this is what comes next in 1 Peter 2. But I spent a little time in visiting with one of my four cousins that's left on my father's side earlier in this week, visiting. They live in Memphis. And we got to talking about our genealogy, which we don't know much about. And the more we find out about it, we just as soon leave the rest of it covered up. But the talk got to focusing upon John Merle, the notorious land pirate who operated a crime ring in the first part of the 19th century. It ran all the way from Georgia to the Mexican border. The Italians wasn't the first ones to start the mafia here. The Merles were. I'm not kidding you any bit. He was the most notorious land pirate in the South, outside of the marine pilot, Gene Lafitte. And the more we thought about it, and the more information we gather upon it, the more likely he is my great-grandfather. And he's buried back over there in the woods in the Prospect community. Him and his business partner, who was a partner named Moore, who were, when they died, yet slave traders, which is some improvement from slave thieves. That's part of the natural hole of the pit from which I was digged. And yours can't be much better, because your first mother was a thief and her first son was a murderer, killed his brother, his younger brother, or at least the second one, killed the older brother, over a religious argument, and you all come from that. Now, he uses that simile in 1 Peter 2:25. You were as sheep going astray. And he uses the word as, but he didn't say you were sheep going astray. You weren't. You weren't sheep. If you were anything, you were goats. You were not sheep going astray, but you, he says, you were as sheep going astray. And that's very kind and soft way of putting it, what we were. What we're going to look at is not what we were as, but what we were. Now, who's going to take this look? Not everybody can take this particular look that we're invited today. The pit itself cannot look. Not that which is in the pit. If you're still in the pit. If you're the pit and in the pit, you brother, you still think so. You mean some of the pits here this morning? I expect it is. If you're in the pit, you can't look at the pit. You're in it. Someone says you can't see the forest for the trees. Nobody who's in the pit can look at the pit. Nor can that which by its removal makes the hole look. Because the hole isn't there until something is removed out of the hole. Now, if you've got a rock down in that hole, buried in the hole, ain't no hole there where the rock is, because the rock's there. When the rock's taken out, the hole's there. Now, the rock can't look at the hole because it's still in the hole. That is, if you're still in the hole in the pit, you can't look. Those who are invited to take that there is those who were digged out of the pit. That's all one can take the look. I'm sorry. It's a restricted audience to whom I speak this morning. If you haven't been digged out of the pit, that doesn't mean anything to you. But if you've been digged out of the pit, you follow the description that's given in Isaiah 51, ye who seek the Lord. You seek the Lord, it's to you. Those who follow after righteousness, if you follow after righteousness, this is for you. If we are indeed, therefore, those who are seeking the Lord, and those who are following after righteousness, he has an exhortation to us here that'll tell us the kind of perspective and attitude that we must be in and we must stay in if we're going to find the Lord and if we're going to indeed be filled with that righteousness which we seek. Now the Bible is not lacking for pictures for us to look at, for words. As I said, when he says you were as sheep going astray, doesn't necessarily mean that you were sheep yourselves. We're just simply as sheep. But the Bible, first of all, tells us some things that some Christians were. Not all, but some Christians were some pretty bad things. I mean, they were. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, for instance, some people think that if you get to a certain point of sin, certain condition you get in, you can be saved. But there are some shocking things that the Bible says some Christians were. We see the basis for that in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11. And such were some of you. Some of you were these. Now what is he talking about? What he just said in verse 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators. People who are now Christians, some people who are now Christians, used to be prostitutes, whores, harlots. Would that shock you to find a person who had worked in a red light district, sitting on a church pew, singing the praises of Jesus Christ? Look at her. Do you know what she was? You know what she's done? Could you embrace such as your pure sister in Christ? You men, could you regard her as your holy, sanctified sister in Christ? He said some of them were. Not only that, but some of her customers sitting in here. In the midst of the Christian church, whoremongers. Men who lived for sexual gratification. Bought it and paid for it where they could get it. Well, I know that fella. I know his life. I know his reputation. Yes, sir. Those among Christians washed, sanctified. That's what he said. All washed away. All gone. Yes. Christians come out of the company like that. What he says. Fornicators. Idolaters. Witches. Devil worshippers. Person gets into the occult. Fortune telling. Bowing to idols. Could he be a Christian? Abraham was. Idolaters. Adulterers. People who, having made faithful marriage vows to a husband or a wife, then go out and violate and break those vows. One of the most hypocritical things that's happened in the news recently is all the furor among those virtuous men of Congress about John Tower, who drinks alcohol and has been unfaithful to his wife. Well, that ought to be outrageous for a public official to do such things like that, except the whole bunch of them are a bunch of drunkards and whoremongers up there. You would expect that in the world, but some of those becoming Christians, it seems ludicrous and altogether insane to expect a man to hold a high government office and keep faith with his country when he won't even keep faith with the most sacred vow he's ever made, and that's to his wife. If he's a traitor, a person's a traitor to his wife, or is a traitor to her husband, that person will be a traitor to anybody or anything. And yet, such traitorous people were and can become Christians. That's a pretty deep hole, isn't it, in the pit. But some of them come out of that. And then he talks about not only these fornicators, but he talks about effeminate and abusers of themselves with mankind. You know what that is? Well, Brother Jack used the bad word, queers. That's what it is. There's a worse word than that. I wouldn't use it here. But it actually describes them, homosexual, gays, whatever you want to. Now, there are many people who say when you go that far, you've done completely reprobate, you can't be saved. The Bible denies that, said some of you were some of them. That's pretty heavy, isn't it? Do you mean that the blood of Jesus Christ, the grace of God, can dig that deep? Well, dug deep enough to get you. You think you weren't that deep? Such were some of you. Now you stop and think about it, dear friend. You know one of them? Have you met one of them? You know somebody who is? I can't stand the sight of her. I can't stand the sight of him. I'm repulsed. Be careful now. Might be sitting by him in church. Could the grace of God dig something out of that pit? Apparently did. Said, some such were you, but you're washed. Drunkards! Drunkards! Not alcoholics. Not drug abusers. Drunkards! That's what he calls them. Drunkards! The Bible says drunkards don't go to hell. But can drunkards be delivered and saved? Apparently some of them was, and they're not drunkards. Of course, sociology says, once a drunkard, always a drunkard. If you're ever alcoholic, you're always an alcoholic. Well, if you do, you're going to hell. Now, a person may have had that. He had whatever they call it. Fella, he can't have a drink without getting drunk. He's ever, he liked that. Well, a man says, the Bible says, they're not that anymore. Nor revilers. That is, people who slander and rail. And he does, again, he talks about extortioners. Now, extortioners doesn't necessarily mean just people who work for the mob and go around and threaten to tear up your business place if you don't pay for protection. Extortioners reaches out into the deceitful, the violent, the merciless, gouging and taking away of people's rightfully owned possessions. Whether you do it by whatever means other than earning that reward by the sweat of your brow and the lawful labor of your hands and your bodies and your minds and working. Any other way you get money is extortion. Whether it's gambling, lotteries, what do they call these things you keep getting them? Sweepstakes, con artists, pyramids, get-rich-quick schemes, that's extortion. Sad to say it, this whole country runs on extortion more than does anything else. Not producing enough to make anybody live. Everybody's trying to get somebody else's money without earning it. Corporations taking over other corporations, manipulating with stocks and bonds, just trying to gouge somebody's pocket. Could a person like that be converted and no longer be a widow robber? No longer be like that? Yes, even those. Well, you say, I don't know about y'all, but I didn't come out of that hole. That's not the hole I come out of. Yeah, I understand what you said there. Some were some of you. I know that some folks was like that. But I ain't never been one of them. I don't fit in that hole. I can't look at that one. I didn't come out of that one. All right. I'll grant you that. Perhaps you didn't. But the Bible does not leave us without some definite dimensions of the whole from which we came. The rest of the things I'm going to mention are comprehensive. This passage in 1 Corinthians says, such were some of you. The rest of these passages are all inclusive. As the one in 1 Peter 2:25, you were as sheep going astray. That's everybody. We're all in that. And the Bible is a little bit more specific on this. In Romans 5 and 8, for instance, the Bible says we were sinners. Sinners. Romans 5 and 8, but God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Now that's not too bad. Most of you have been Baptist long enough that you heard that lie about we all save sinners. Everybody's sinners. Some sinners are saved and some are lost. That didn't come out of the Bible. Come out of some lying Baptist preacher's mouth. The Bible never speaks of the saints as sinners. No, sinners are always lost people. Now, it does not mean, we do not mean by that saints do not sin. That's not what we say. If the saints didn't sin, 95% of the New Testament be unnecessary because it is all designed to stop the saints from sinning. But what it means by that is that we were all sinners, meaning that we were slaves to sin. Everybody, that's the whole of the pit that you came out of. Servants of sin is the word that we have in the King James, which simply means slaves. You have that in Romans chapter 6, verse 17. But God be thanked that when ye were slaves of sin. Again in verse 20, when you were the slaves of sin. By that, you couldn't stop sinning. You couldn't help yourself. You had to do it. Now some of you who are Christians right now might speak of a particular sin. Listen to me carefully. You say, well, I can't help it. I've got to do that. Then you're still the slaves of sin, and you're still lost. Brother Merrill, you said that we can get to the place to where we don't sin. I didn't say that. I'm saying that there's no specific sin that a Christian has to do. Now, when you were sinners, you did. You couldn't help yourself. You had to. You were slaves to it. That's the hole you came out of. Are you still in it? If you're still in it, no wonder you can't see it. You're still in the hole. There ain't no hole there. It's just you in the pit. That's all that's there. But he says, you were slaves to sin. Is what you're doing sin? Is it righteousness? Is it right? Is it godly? No. Well, it's sin. Oh, no, it's just indifferent. It's just one of those things that matter. No, there's no such thing as that. It's either right or wrong. Which is it? You were slaves to sin. Servants of sin. Well, what is sin? Sin's missing the mark. Sin's anything less than righteousness. Sin's anything's off the target. Sin's anything that's wrong. Titus chapter 3 gives us a little bit more of a specific insight to what it is. Again, he uses this past tense of the verb to be. Titus chapter 3 and verse 3. For we, once again, this is inclusive, it's everybody. We ourselves also were, not are, were, at times past, foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving, there again you are, slaves, enslaved, serving different lusts and pleasures. You want to know what sin is? Serving different lusts and pleasures. Do you mean, Brother Merrill, that we should have no desires, we should have no lusts? No. God gave us valid, right desires. You would eat if you didn't have that. There wouldn't be any procreation if you did not have that. There are legitimate desires. You're supposed to have them. But you're not supposed to serve them. Are you saying that we are to have no pleasure? Not at all. God created pleasure. Pleasure comes out of God. God takes pleasure. And so we do enjoy pleasures. But you don't serve them. What is sin? A servant to your lust. A servant of what you want to do. I ain't no whore. I'm not a whoremonger. I'm not unfaithful to my wife. I'm not unfaithful to my husband. I don't do that still. Servant to lust and pleasure. What is it you like? And you do it because you like it, even though it's harmful. You know it's not Christian. You know it's not good for you. You keep on doing it. Why? Like it. Enjoy it. My business. Are you going to make me get specific about these things? Can I not say that you can make a sin out of anything? What you cannot control controls you. You're a servant to it. It's sin. I'm hesitant to pick out things. I'd leave out something. And if I hit something, you'd say I'm picking on you. And that'd be good. If you take it as that. But you can select those better than I can. What is it that you serve? Not Christ. The Bible says these that are served not Christ but their own bellies. Their own pleasures. What they like, what they enjoy. What's that? Slaves to pleasures and lusts. He said, that's a hole I dug you out of. Are you still in a hole? You dig from that. Look to the pit. Look to the hole of the pit that you got out of. Can you quit it? I talked to a man last week, preacher, who has his beer occasionally. He's not a drunkard. He just likes his beer occasionally. I'm going to keep on drinking it, he says. Can't prove me to in the Bible where it says sin to drink beer. That's right, I can't. I like it. My business. Sure. Sure is. When your kid starts drinking it, all he wants. Go ahead, ruin your ministry. Be a stumbling block to everybody who finds out about you. Better sneaking around. Go ahead. Well, that isn't there with me. What is it? Cokes? Or Snickers? Or guns or cars? Or football or basketball? Or hunting or fishing? What is it? Your servant. You're still in the hole or the pit you come from? What is this salvation that can save us from eternal punishment but can't save us from these little things? You were slaves to those. You were serving divers lust. Not only that, but it says you were hating, hateful and hating. Now, look at that. Titus 3:3. Hateful and hating. Meaning this, not only you made yourself hated, and you hate other people. Now, you know why? Those two go together. Why? Because, you see, if I'm living for my lusts and my pleasures, somebody is going to get in my way of getting what I want. Aren't they? And when they do, I ain't going to love them for it. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to hate them for it. Not only that, but I'm going to step on somebody getting my pleasure and serving my lust. And when I step on somebody, they're going to hate me for it. See, it comes back to this being a slave to divers lusts and pleasures. That's what makes you hateful. And that's what makes you hate other people. Your problem with other people, dear friend, is not the fact that they're so obnoxious and cantankerous. The problem is they're getting in your way. And you stepping on them, trying to get what you want. That's what makes you hateful and hating. If you're still in the hole of the pit, that's what he dug us out of. That's what you were. That's what you've been dug from. Look to it. The hole of the pit from which you come. That's the shape of it. Not only that, concerning sin, the Bible says it's a state of death. Sinners. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1. And you hath he quickened who were dead. Were dead. He says it again in verse 5. Even when we were dead in sins. That does not mean, of course, physically dead. It means spiritually dead, dead to all that is life. But at that time you had no rapport and no way of communicating or identifying with spiritual realities and joys. You could come into the service here this morning. You can look around and say, why on earth would anybody put up with something like this and get out of bed on Sunday morning and come down here to put up with something like this? Utterly dead to God. Dead to truth. Dead to righteousness. Dead to all that is eternally life. That's the hole of the pit that we come from. That's a pretty deep hole, isn't it? A hole of death. Dead. Deadness. Of course, the fellow's still dead. Didn't know he's dead. It's only the person who's alive can look back and say, boy, I was dead. Death in that hole, in that pit. Dead in trespasses. Not only that, but he says we were in the flesh. Romans chapter 7, verse 5. For when we were in the flesh. Well, Brother Merrill, you know, that's who's that talking about? Like talking about saints, you know, that's already died and gone on. No, talking about folks living right now who are not in the flesh. Verse 9 of chapter 8 says, ye are not in the flesh. Says used to be in the flesh. But you're not now. You were in the flesh. What does that mean? Let me tell you what it means. Some of you have seen some of these Houdini tricks, these illusionists. Here's a fellow who locks himself, puts himself in a chest, chains himself all up, locks himself all up, takes this chest, puts it in a tank, or drops it in a pond or something, puts it in a burning building or something like that. Well, if you weren't a Houdini and a con artist and an illusionist or something like that, somebody lock you up in a chest. Take that chest and throw it in the fire. Or take the chest and drop it in the hole in the bottom of the sea. Wherever the chest went, you went too, because you locked up in it. Now, God's judgment, and God's condemnation, and God's wrath is against the flesh, and you in it. And it's never going to be assuaged. No, sir, God's going to judge this flesh. In fact, he already says the body is dead. And the day that you sin, you're going to die. And the only person that bears your name that lives is inside this mortal body. God's wrath against it, and you locked up in it. That's what it is to be in the flesh. Now, you're not there if you're Christian. The Bible says you don't live there. Yes, this old body's been judged. It's going to die, and I'll be glad of it, because I don't live there anymore. That's not where my life is. But previously, that's all you had. You look at this old rotten body, this old creaking frame, this old thing that's fading away, this old undependable house. You talk about poor house. And say, this is all there is to me? This is all there is to life? You mean I'm stuck with this thing? Well, dear friend, if you're still in the hole in the pit, you are. That's all you got. You don't like the color of your hair, the color of your eyes, the shape of your face, just wait a little while, it'll change. You're not going to get any better. Are you still in it? Huh? You were. That's the hole of the pit that you were digged from. But you're not there anymore. Hallelujah. Praise God. Been brought out of it. That's quite a hole to get out of. You were in the flesh, locked in a body of sin and death, under the awful press of the law, condemned with its punishment. Not only that, but carried away to idolatry. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 2 speaks of the Corinthians like that, and they're not unique. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 2, he says, you know that you were Gentiles, that's us, carried away. You were carried away even unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led. Carried away. Just swept along with it, like the tide or a river. In fact, in Ephesians 5 and 8 tells us we used to be darkness. You were darkness. You yourselves, darkness, enemies. Romans 5 and 10, enemies of God? Yes. Romans 5 and 10 says, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. Can you think of anything any more absurd? That's that little ball of dirt, or that little rock down there in the bottom of that hole, shaking its fist against God. Enemies of God, haters of God. Colossians 1:21 tells the same thing. Enemies of God. That's what we were. Hostile to God. Ephesians 2:12 says we were without Christ. I think some of us have been Christians long enough, too long, in this respect, that we've forgotten what it was like to be without Christ. Been married to my wife going on 44 years now. I don't remember much what it's like to be without her. Can't imagine what it would be to be without her. I see widows and widowers who lost their mate for life, and they seem to me like the same way. They don't know what to do with themselves. They can imagine life without them. Oh, dear friend, if you'd gotten, there was a time when you were without Christ. Especially in the context of saying to be an enemy to God, committing hostile acts toward God, sinning against a holy God, and to be without an advocate, to be without his blessed beloved Son to stand between you and the wrath of God, to be without Christ, Ephesians 2:12, at that time you were without Christ, aliens, strangers, without God, no hope. Oh, we've forgotten about that hole in the pit, the darkness and despair and hopelessness that was there. Have you ever been to that place, dear friend? Have you ever seen yourself and felt yourself at the bottom of that pit, locked up in there, nothing around but darkness? You can't see anything. You can't see the pit. You can't see the light. The only thing you know, you're locked up into darkness and death and hopelessness and despair. Go back and take a look at the hole from which you came out of. How breathe in the free air of Beulah's bravest, eating the milk and honey of Canaan. You've forgotten that whole far off Ephesians 2:13. Far away from God. So often I've heard sinners cry like this, I pray and I can't reach him. Where is he? Job says, where is he? Where is he? Oh, dear friend, when God cannot be touched, the distance seems inestimable. As far as the universe expands, it seems the distance between me and God. Far off. Not only that, but Ephesians 2 and 3 says, we were children of wrath. And were by nature the children of wrath. And there is a happy thought in this. Were by our nature. That's what we were. Sinners. Children of wrath. Once again, that vivid picture of God's bow bent and the arrow pointed at me. Why? I'm the object of God's hatred and God's wrath. And his bow is bent, his arrow is aimed, and he doesn't bend the bow until he's ready to shoot. We were. Hallelujah. Praise God. That is not now our nature. We are not by nature now the children of wrath. We were as others. Not one whit of difference between you and the non-elect. God's wrath against you just like it was against anybody, but not now. And then in 1 Peter, I'm closing it up now, 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 10 says, which in times past were not a people. As far as God's concerned, and God's promises, and God's word, and God's prophecies, and God's goodness, and everything that God intends to do that's good and wholesome and blessing, you didn't even exist. You weren't included. Your name wasn't on the list. You weren't even in the mind of God. You were a non-entity. You were nothing. You were. You was on the outside, trying to peep in, and everybody on the inside didn't even know you existed. You just shut out. You weren't. But now being brought in, the ring on your hand, the shoes on your feet, and the robe upon you, God's people. That's quite a distance from that hole to be seated with Christ in the heavens, isn't it? Quite a distance we were. We're now no longer. Praise God for the past tense. We were. But now no longer. Going back now quickly to the passage in Isaiah 51. Hearken to me, ye that follow after righteousness, ye that seek the Lord. Are we those who follow after righteousness and seek the Lord? Look unto the rock whence you're hewn and the hole of the pit whence you're digged. Now he helps us a little bit here. First he says, look to the rock, look to the hole. Then he says, verse 2, look to Abraham, look to Sarah. Oh, I see Abraham, the faithful. Sarah, the virtuous. No, that's not what he's intending. He's looking at Abraham, the idolater. Sarah, the barren. That's so. Romans chapter 4 tells us that if works got us something, if our own goodness got us something from God, Abraham might have something to brag about. But what the scripture says, Abraham just believed God. God counted to him for righteousness. Look at Sarah. She couldn't produce anything. No. Hope to all her life. Hopelessness. And already it's too late. She's too old. What she could not do in her youth, she surely cannot do in her old age. She's done, wasted her life. It's been spent. She was born defective. She couldn't bring forth children. Utterly unable to produce any life itself. Look to her. That's the hole from which you came. That's the kind of rock you're hewed out of. Nothingness, hopelessness, idolatry. Simply looking unto him. In Romans chapter 4, he tells us the perspective of the sinner, looking to that kind of foundation from which we came. Romans chapter 4. Verse 5, but to him that worketh not, that is, you don't have anything more to offer than yourself as you are in the hole, in the pit, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly. Who's the ungodly? Abraham, Sarah. His faith is counted for righteousness. That's you. Everything that the Bible says that you were, that Christians were, you now are, if you're not a Christian. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man to whom God imputeth righteousness without work, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the person to whom the Lord will not charge him with his sins. That's the whole in the pit from which we're digged. He dug us out. He didn't climb out. You didn't scratch out. You didn't dig yourself out. He kept digging till he found you. He kept chiseling and breaking and chipping and hammering until he broke you loose and took you out. All you can do is look back, see where he got you from. Praise him and adore him for his goodness and kindness forever. I want us to sing a hymn.